And George, you're our special guest this hour. We'll take phone calls as we continue talking about predictions for 2017 right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. George, you're with us as we talk about 2017. And it's moving fast. The technologies, George, that are out there doing what they do are moving at a record pace, aren't they? Where is George? George has fallen off, and we're going to have to call him back and get him on. And we will. 2017 has come and gone for George Year. So get him back on, Crystal, and let's click him at Crystal in for Tom. And once he's on, we will get going. In the meantime, let's go to Jeff in Culver City and check in with you, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, we're going to get him back any minute.
Okay, yeah, George and Mr. George, you're a happy, holidays and all that good stuff for you, George. But I'm so glad that you guys are talking about predictions in 2017. I had this very horrible dream on Christmas Eve where I was looking at a gigantic movie screen which was split in four parts. In the first part, there was the usual terrorist suspects wreaking havoc, yet I didn't know exactly where. In the second part, there was at least two major wars with America's many enemies, yet I didn't know exactly which two countries. The third part involved at least two major riots in America, yet I didn't know which cities. And the fourth part was about a massive flooding similar to Katrina or a tsunami in Japan, yet I didn't know which part of the country, the United States, was affected. You know, then I awakened. You know, but I want to ask Mr. George Yor, and maybe you can ask him later when he comes back.
He's back. He's back. He's listening to
you. During the first 4 years will be dull and uneventful, or do you guys believe that there will be tumultuous and disastrous events occurring, especially in 2018 and 2019.
All right, George, you picked up some of that. What do you think the next 4 years are going to be like?
Well, I think because I come at things from a business perspective, a lot of the earthquake stuff, and I'll put it in geophysical terms, I think you'll see earthquakes happening probably in the first quarter of the year, more so than latter part of 2017, just because of the three supermoon period we're in right now, and that's typically when you get the megaquakes. There was the big one down off Chile and so forth. But the dream is really interesting because dreams like that sometimes do leak bits of the future. But the other problem is when we get into the end of the year period, there are so many retrospectives going on that people sometimes have what dream analysts refer to as day residue that they begin processing. And honestly, this gentleman has a very interesting series of dream pictures. But in terms of do I expect it will take place to a major war, for example, no. From an economic standpoint, that's premature. The wars generally happen after you've had a big depression, and it's kind of a workout at the end of it. So in terms of war, I'm thinking, 2022, 2024, because by then we will be through the economic mess and the widespread loss that will go as we work through the mountains of extra stuff that we're up to, almost up to our eyes in junk right now. And that's consumer super saturation. So at some point, we've got to get rid of mega homes. We've got to get back to reasonable size properties and so forth.
George, one thing you mentioned, real estate, and the bricks and mortar businesses, I think, could be in real trouble. I mean, Sears isn't what they used to be. Sports Authority shutting down. Best Buy closing down stores. What's happening there?
Well, it really becomes down to this business model question, because everybody has roughly the same transportation cost. I mean, for me to ship 100 pounds of something across the country, you can be next door and you can ship it across the country too. So then it's whoever's got the most cost-effective warehousing. I think Amazon's got that one really well nailed, but the problem Amazon has is that political problem with the brick guys, the mall operators and owners. And really, America's changing its shopping habit. the company I like in the middle there is Walmart, because Walmart is going to more of an online presence. You can actually order competitively priced product from Walmart, and it will show up not as fast as Amazon, and certainly not where Amazon is doing its 2-hour delivery from the time. And I don't know if you followed this, George, but in some of their key markets, Amazon is testing 2 hours from when you click to when it shows up at your door. Have you seen that?
I've heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And they're also, I think Amazon will likely expand, oddly enough, into something like grocery stores, because...
Well, they're testing that now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, big. In my world, I sit around and think about, you know, gee, could Amazon merge Safeway in, or some big national chain like Kroger's or whoever? Because you see, that would give them essentially Amazon Fresh in every market and Amazon Prime for 2-hour delivery. And of course, they're pushing the envelope with drones. But, you know, as I said before, you've got President-elect Trump is making comments about the word antitrust as it relates to the online. Walmart's actually got a foot in each camp. Walmart has got lots of retail square footage, so you can't really say that they're an online business, but they are becoming an online business. I ordered a product from Amazon here, from Walmart's online side, about a month ago, and it came, it was a big screen TV, and it came and it was broken. And the return was just relaxing, no hassle. Took it down to the local Walmart out here in Palestine, Texas, and they said, oh yeah, scan, done. And by the time I got home, the credit was already on my credit card, and it was painless. So I think that, you know, finding that mixed model where you've got the best of brick, you've got the best of click, but where Amazon, again, has a real lead is, I think it was Kachina Robotics, if I'm remembering the name right. But they bought a robotics company a number of years ago, and that robotics company doesn't sell to anybody but Amazon, and it's now Amazon Robotics. And those guys are almost impossible to beat when it comes to warehouse and inventory control and so forth.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you that it's amazing at how fast that this is all happening. And it's happening at a clip that I'm not sure a lot of people can keep pace with it. But, you know, there are some stores I like to go to physically, George, and just kind of wander around, like a Home Depot, where, you know, you can see things and stuff. Yet the convenience of online ordering is also good. And I think, and you're right, most of these big retail stores now are making online available as well to try to offset that.
Yeah, and that's all being made more complicated by the rise of minimalism. We're seeing that in the millennials. I mean, most of the millennials I know have given up on the idea of a McMansion in the suburbs. They're trying to figure out the right lifestyle, then they'll go engineer it. For example, they're more interested in greenhouses and microhomes, and some of those things really would be considered deconstructing, because when we were kids, I mean, everybody thought, you know, oh, a dream house would be 3,000 square feet. Well, you get 3,000 square feet, and then you find out you've got a $7,000 to $10,000 a year tax bill, and you go, wait a minute, do I need all this square footage? Because honestly, most people's lives are condensing down onto a tablet or onto a smartphone.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Lori in Gilbert, Arizona is with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, Lori, go ahead.
Hi, George. Nice to talk to you again. I've talked to you before.
Yes,
and
you have.
Hello to the other George. I just had not a question, but a comment about something you mentioned in the previous hour. I don't have a background in technology, but about the laser light therapy healing for the body. I had a greyhound, a retired racing greyhound, that had a ruptured disc in his spine. and I didn't want to go the surgery route, so we kind of did some medicine and stuff like that. But my veterinarian, and this was a couple of years ago, so I guess they've been doing this, light therapy for pain and inflammation and healing the body. And they do this on animals, and they did this on my dog, and I was kind of skeptical. I thought, well, how can this really heal the body? But I don't think I would have believed it unless I saw it. And I don't think the placebo effect really works good with animals. Well, maybe it does, but that dog could barely walk, and I did this therapy twice a week, and he was like a different dog. And so I just wanted to put it out there for anybody who's skeptical about these different technologies that it's, I guess it's kind of promising, too. They can do it with people for all kinds of stuff, like you mentioned. So, you know, I just wanted to put it out there that if anybody would be, you know, skeptical, it's a real thing, and it's really promising. So it's a good thing.
All right. Well, thank you. You're right. It is the real thing, George. You're
also right. It is in veterinary medicine now, and the reason it's in veterinary medicine and not available down at the local emergency room yet is getting back to this Food and Drug Administration regulatory process. The Food and Drug Administration is charged with keeping charlatans and quacks out of medicine, but there is enough background now on the effects of 660 nanometer super red light that it's becoming almost overwhelming. And by the way, speaking of disruptive, you can buy a greenhouse red light that I think they're about 12, 13 bucks on Amazon. It's an LED light array that just plugs in or screws in a regular medium Edison base. And you can have 660 nanometer light, and they're using that in greenhouses because it stimulates the effect of plant growth. I mean, you can get, you know, 20-30% faster plant growth by putting red lights on them. And who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Let's go to Brett in Brighton, Michigan. Hi, Brett. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George and George.
Good to have you with us. You know, I used to have a farm in Fowlerville, Michigan, up the road from you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's blowing like crazy up here in Michigan.
Oh, boy.
The previous caller, anyone in the audience that wants, this isn't why I called, but I'm going to quickly give a resource. It's called The Body Electric. The Body Electric by Dr. Robert Becker.
Yes, MD. He's been on the show.
That's a great resource. And George and everyone in the audience, there's a thing called the Townsend Letter. And a couple years ago, I was checking out YouTube or other, internet sites, and I came upon the Townsend Letter. It was the 8th of September, 2009. They did a stellar review of, I think, what they called electromedicine. And it's an amazing resource for anyone who wants to really get into this from a very scientific perspective. George, the monetary system, okay. I was reviewing an article from a fellow who is from Missouri, but he's down in Waxahachie, Texas, David J. Smith, mm-hmm. called NewsWatchMagazine.org. And he used to be on WWL for a long time. I'd hear his broadcast. Well, anyway, it was sometime in 2012, March, July, August, November. He was featuring a lot of Ron Paul. And they got into the fact that throughout America, to combat the monetary monopolists, being the Federal Reserve, private corporation, whose private stockholders are predominantly the Wall Street banking houses, that the 1965 Coinage Act and the U.S. Treasury own website said there is no statutory mandate that any business or any private person must use Federal Reserve promissory notes which have, unlike silver certificates, George, remember we used to have those backed
by
silver dollars.
Yep.
And even JFK got out of that, and I think transitionally began printing U.S. Treasury notes backed by silver dollars. And, of course, when LBJ took the helm, all that ceased. I think we have recourse because in this Newswatch magazine article of 2012, they cite, like, the Berkshires. There was, like, millions of Berkshires, which would be, like, you know, a competing currency that had been issued. Even here in Michigan, George, a number of other currencies, even Washington, D.C., okay, they began utilizing alternative currencies.
Well, and you've got Bitcoin now.
You know, I'm thinking...
You've got the Bitcoins now, too, George, here.
Yes, and Bitcoins could go as high, I think, 2017. We'll see perhaps new highs for Bitcoin. We were very skeptical of Bitcoin during their first run up to the 900, 950 kind of range. But they pulled back down to around 300 or so. And so the next move for Bitcoin could put them 1,500 to 2,000 range, but it likely will not happen overnight. On the other hand, on the monetary side, I'm a little bit skeptical of gold, quite frankly, because gold depends on people's disposable incomes. The problem for 2017, a lot of people will have to deal with, is the Obamacare Affordable Care Act bills will probably go into effect. There's been some discussion, and this will be one of the key stories for 2017. Do we keep with that approach to healthcare, or do we try a different model? And right now, we don't have a different model set to go. We've got to get it through Congress if there are to be any changes. And they are not likely to let go of the increases for 2017. There was I don't want to say a crooked deal in 2016, but the increases for 2016 that people would have remembered at the polls, had they gone into effect, and probably would have resulted in an increased margin of Trump victory, those were pushed back until 2017. Well, 2017 is just about here, so the cost of the Affordable Care Act could be going up for a lot of people.
George, give out your website, so we're going to take a break and come back with final calls. Go ahead.
UrbanSurvival.com and Peoplenomics.com.
Are they subscription websites, or can anybody go to them?
Urban Survival is free. Peoplenomics is $40 a year.
Oh, that's not bad at all. All right, stay with us. George, you're our special guest. And those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get right to you on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, by the way, to like us on Facebook. That opens up more information to you. And follow us on Twitter, where we send little notes out all the time as well. Our webmasters, headed up by Lex, are on top of all those things. But we're going to come back in just a short moment on Coast to Coast AM with George Ure as we talk about things to just keep our eyes open for in 2017. Welcome back to Coast, George. You're with us, of course. George, look out on about 5 years from now. What do you see?
5 years from now, we should be at the tail end of a major depression. We should have a lot of new factories built and under construction in the United States, and the risk of war on the Pacific side will probably be scaling up to the over 50% chance.
Is that because of North Korea?
North Korea, the China reunification, the resource problem, George. Right now, there's room for everybody in the global marketplace, but at some point, we'll get back into the end of oil as a major depletion problem, as well as other resources like lithium for batteries, for example.
Speaking of batteries, one of the issues with smartphones is the battery life. Will they ever get to a system that kind of pulls in energy from the atmosphere, the ionosphere?
Unfortunately, probably not. The problem there is we have not yet developed the transverse wave theory that was being worked on so diligently by Nikola Tesla. However, on energy, one of the things we do expect either 2017 or 2018 is to get word out of Lockheed Martin. I don't know if you've been following their cold fusion, hot fusion, small fusion reactor project, but they're on the engineering track to being able to deliver like 5 megawatts of power on something that would fit on the back of a semi-trailer. And so that there is something where they're throwing so much engineering talent at it. I would expect a fusion breakthrough either 2017, 2018. But then, of course, the first customers will be government, military, and so forth. So how soon that actually makes a run at the home market, we don't know. Tesla is getting some traction with their home battery packs, and of course the real question everyone needs to be asking when they start looking at the alternative energy space is, will your alternative energy system work without a grid? There are lots of grid tie systems out there, but they won't cold start without the grid to lock to.
Will there be a time where technology is so prevalent that we can do just about anything we want to do?
I think we're there. I did a piece of, about a month or so back about how we're probably seeing the end of windows in homes, for example. I mean, it's not a great big thing, but we've got all these...
And you're not talking about the computer program, are you?
No. I'm not talking about Bill's windows. I'm talking about fenestration and building codes.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, in fact, I've got a ham radio tower, right? And so I'm thinking, well, gosh, I could put a tilt, zoom, pan camera 60 feet up on top of the tower, pipe that into the 55-inch Ultra TV, right? So what do I need a window to look at ground level for when I could have 4 cameras in an array and make a room feel like I'm on top of a watchtower someplace? I mean, it's that kind of envision it, and you can almost get off-the-shelf parts to do that now.
Well, weren't windows developed in the older days to let a breeze in?
They were developed to let a breeze in, get cooking smells out, and also to keep the rain out, but let you see what was going on outside.
They also say when there's a tornado outside, open your windows so your house isn't pressurized.
Yeah, my preference there is to be nowhere near it. I'm not going to hang around to open windows. I'll be down underground someplace.
Well, that's the best place to be.
Yeah, but you're right. There's a whole series that... was kicked. Are you familiar with Make magazine?
Make? No, I'm not.
Oh, gosh. And Instructables.com and so forth. See, there's getting to be this huge part of right sizing. It's a new way of inventing. It's not sitting down like Edison and, you know, trying to invent the electric light. But instead, people are doing inventive integrations. And I'll give you an example. There's a website called Stratix, Stratix.net, I think it is, and they have taken the ADS-B system for aircraft identification, and they built it on Raspberry Pis, and it works great. They use a little dongle for a receiver out of satellite TV technology, and they put a Raspberry Pi to it, and all of a sudden, you've got live aviation weather streaming on your computer if you can happen to see an ADS-B transmitting site. And plus, you get to see all the air traffic on maps and so forth. So, I mean, people are doing this stuff off the shelf. Just, you know, hit Amazon. I need this much memory and this fast a processor, and the app development frameworks are there, and websites like SourceForge are going nuts. But people are making, they're creating. An old client of mine is doing great things, emachineshop.com. What they do is you can download software and do a mechanical drawing of, you know, a sheet of, let's say, quarter-inch stainless steel plate, and they'll have it water-jetted out and FedExed out to you if you want.
Let's go to Jeffrey in Rancho Cucamonga in California. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Jeffrey.
My dad's named George, too. That's kind of cool.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. We're taking over.
My question is, he's using the term disruptive technology, and I wonder if he means it in a temporal sense, that it's something brand new in time and it has to be adapted by society, or does he mean it like a disruptive technology such as a nuclear weapon?
Believe it or not, well, it's kind of like a nuclear weapon, except it's financial. You see, the problem we've got is we've got so many investments for the pension funds and for banks and life insurance companies and so forth that have all been traditional long-term buy hold. And the problem is, as new things, Bitcoin, like I wouldn't be surprised to see Bitcoin hit $1,000 in 2017. That would not at all surprise me. But the Bitcoin market is relatively small. So if you're running like, you know, a MetLife or CalPERS retirement fund, how do you invest in these new really cool technologies which have the potential to get major market share, or do you just go out and buy stocks and wait for the Dow to hit 22,000, which I think it easily could this year?
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Melissa's in Temple, Texas now. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was wondering what you saw for nurses, doctors, the medical field. What do you see happening there?
That's actually one of the fields that will be last to go, I think, in terms of being automated. And the reason for that is several fold. Number one, as good as surgeons are and as much as you can augment surgery, lawyers are not likely to turn over things like gallbladder operations to machines. There's so much hands-on, subtle skill that doesn't translate into computer code quickly, gracefully, and here's the important part, with the bedside manner. Because when you go to a doctor, you can have a machine tell you, yeah, you've got this disease, say cancer. But the expectation setting, the how you treat the patient, the mindset has everything to do with how the outcome is going to go. And so I think hands-on medicine is one of the durable crafts, not to say that there won't be robots bringing the pills up from the pharmacy, and not to say that robotics aren't going to take care of the MRIs and so forth. But ultimately, what's changing in the world right now is we're not developing new products. What we're developing really is new experiences. And those industries where there's an experience optimization, like is going on in medicine right now, those industries will be robust. But those places where you can suck the personality out, like driving a truck across the country, I think 2017 we'll start reading about over-the-road truck experiments for long-haul trucking. So those are the kinds of things that I think keep doctors, nurses, CNAs, and so forth in the loop. Can you make a bedpan robot? Yeah, maybe, but do they know how to talk to patients and keep them chipper?
Friend of mine just came back from Tokyo, and he said that's all they're talking about out there are robots. Robots. All kinds of robots, George.
Well, and there's an interesting philosophical question, because in some religious beliefs, we're not supposed to make idols in our own image, and yet I know people with terabytes of code that are working on just that problem.
Carlos in Carson, California. Hi, Carlos.
Yes, good evening. George, prior in the last collapse, economic collapse that we had, you saw some as precursors to the collapse, you saw some isolated banking collapses. Are we going to see the same this time around? And let's bear in mind that the Federal Reserve will just started raising rates again. Are they going to keep doing that? And also, you mentioned the Simpsons, or I heard something about the Simpsons' predictions. There's an episode in the Simpsons where Trump is president, and there's some kind of an associated banking, economic collapse. Yeah.
That's just what we need. But the banking system, are we going to have any bank holidays, George?
I don't think we'll get to the banking holidays until 2018, 2019 timeframe. Because when you look at the Great Depression, the banking holidays didn't happen right away. They were like pushed a year or so into it, and just going from memory without looking the dates up. But in terms of precursors, I don't think we're going to see the banking system go first. I think it may be pension systems going first this time. And again, we get back to the pension systems, because so many of them have been buy and hold players in long-term assets that are becoming illiquid. If 20 years ago you had a pension fund, you could sort of buy anything in real estate and do okay, especially in malls and so forth. But today, what do you do with that mall ownership position? Who's going to buy it? And anybody buying it is going to just beat you up and down the head and shoulders and say, why would I buy this? I can buy stock in Amazon. You know?
And most of that real estate is underwater now, too.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It?
And a lot of commercial hasn't recovered yet. But as I say, the banking part, I'm not so worried about. I am worried about defined benefit pension plans and things like that, where there are some growth assumptions, like, you know, some plans have 7%, 8% growth assumptions built into them. And it's like, I'm sorry, in today's world, where are you going to get that?
Where are you going to get that? Let's go to Jim in Atlanta. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hey, George. You kind of touched base a little bit on the health insurance, and just kind of like what I need help with is, you know, I had to drop insurance for next year because it was just too expensive. So what happened is, through work, health insurance, they have three plans. And just for the basics real quick, the lowest plan was like $250 a month. And there's only three of us, me, my wife, and my five-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was $250 a month with a deductible of $11,000. I
wow.
called them and confirmed what the deductible actually means. They said, we only pay for your yearly physical. Other than that, we don't pay a penny until you pay that deductible.
Wow.
The highest plan was $910 a month, but you only had a $3,500 deductible. Well, technically, if you add both those plans up, the low and the high, they're both about $14,000. So it doesn't matter which plan I pick. So I went to the Obamacare, the healthcare.gov website. They have like 150 plans. But again, because of my income, and that's what they're arguing is my income. I make
mm-hmm.
$50,000 a year. Obamacare plans at healthcare.gov, there's like 150 different plans. I could choose one for $100 a month or $2,000 a month. But again, with the deductibles, it all came out to about $14,000, $15,000 a year. So I did the math on the average Joe like myself. Income tax is like 19.6%, so mine's well around 20. And 20% of $50,000 is $10,000. $15,000 of health insurance. So 15 and 10 is $25,000. That means I'm working 6 months out of the year for money that I can't use and health insurance I can't get because the deductible, they're not going to cover anything.
That's
if
crazy.
I pay it.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and one of the problems is when we read things like Tax Freedom Day. The Tax Foundation does Tax Freedom Day every year, and usually it's in April or so. They have not included health care in their calculations, I don't believe, so far, because if they did, it would become apparent that people in your predicament are now up to the working six, and you didn't even mention things like property tax you have to pay and sales tax you have to pay and excise tax on gasoline and taxes on power, and it, the list just goes on and on. And so the real question is, how bad does it get for the working guy before there's a break in their ability to spend? And that's where we get into the risk, and I think that risk is, put a date on it, March or July 2017, people just wake up one morning and say, what the hell? I can't afford all these bills. And then the stock market will go, well, yeah, but on paper here we should make this, but people aren't buying insurance. And then all of a sudden, those of us who are grays, who have a little money in stocks and so forth, will wake up the next morning after that and go, well, you know, since the kids don't have money, maybe I should cash out of my stocks. So that starts the collapse. And then it just picks up speed from there. And then those 7% defined benefit pension plans, they start hitting the wall pretty quick.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Sam, in Grand Junction, Colorado, and get you in real fast, Sam. Go ahead.
Hello, and thank you very much, George.
Sure.
And, of course, to Mr. Year as well. I'm sort of a follower of People Comics. And I guess my question is where do you see millennials like myself? I just turned 22 less than a month ago. Where do you see us? And how can we not only survive but thrive in 2017?
All right, very good. About 40 seconds left, George.
40 seconds or less. I think the way to thrive for the foreseeable future will be to manage your personal debt as close to zero as you can get it. Whatever you can do to unload student loans, whatever you can do to get into a profession that's hard to throw a robot at it, and then buy only the modest home that makes sense. The micro home, the new style home, which is as close to self-sufficient as you can engineer it, including food.
All right, George, thank you again. Keep in touch with us, okay, my friend?
Absolutely, George. It's an honor.
It's going to be a great year in 2017. At least for a while. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Up next, have you ever met somebody that just gives you a very strange vibe? You just think, something about that guy, I'm not sure. Well, we're going to talk with Georgina Cannon about the Third Circle Protocol next on Coast to Coast AM.